Yes. Now tonight, the subject that we want to consider, as I look at my notes, we considered some 5 years ago. The name of the subject is trouble. Many will ask, well, why would you talk about trouble? The reason is we do have trouble. And the idea is, how do we face trouble? Our scripture text will be found in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verses 1 through 3. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not my life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. And I think we will all admit that Elijah was in trouble. Just imagine, perhaps not so much in this presidency, but in the previous one, imagine the president's wife out to get you. You'd really be in trouble. Now, before we look into Elijah's life, we want to consider, why do believers get in trouble? And for that, we will turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Here is a man in trouble. The queen is after him, out to get his life. The question is, why do believers find themselves in trouble? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. This is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. What glory is it if, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Chapter 3. Verse 14. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Chapter 4, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, from those scriptures which we have read, we find that a believer is in trouble for one of two reasons. Either he has done something wrong, or God has seen fit to put him and allow him to be in trouble. Jacob was always in trouble because he was always doing wrong things. On the other hand, Joseph was in trouble, but as he said when he was in prison, even here, I have done no wrong. Jacob was in trouble for wrongdoing. Joseph was in trouble for rightdoing. Why was Elijah in trouble? What had he done? Let's review his life a little bit. Chapter 17 of 1 Kings. And try to find out why was Elijah in trouble. Did he do something wrong? Or did God allow this for his own divine purposes? Chapter 17, verse 2. The word of the Lord came unto him, that is Elijah, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. There he was obedient. He wasn't in trouble for this, apparently. He was obedient. Verse 8 of chapter 17, 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Again, he was obedient. Chapter 18, please. We know the chapter well, so let us start at... Well, whenever I read this, something comes to mind. So just let's read verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. And I like that verse because it was this verse that led my father to the Lord. And whenever he testified, he would let the folks know that this was the first. How long halt ye between two opinions? But to continue our subject, let's go down to verse 25, and we're going to read a good bit. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon, that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he is asleep and must be awake. I just pause for a minute here. Many of these folks that we read of and see that make all this noise and racket, I call it, in the presence of the Lord, remind me of this scripture. They almost cut themselves, screaming and shouting and loud. They remind me of this picture. That's not the effective way to get an answer from God. Verse 28, they cried aloud, cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, and the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Elijah said unto the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the 2nd time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Have you ever seen that? Fire licking up water? Why, in the fire service, we use water to put out the fire. But here this was different. And when the people saw, verse 38, saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. Now, verse 40, please pay attention. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Who told him to do that? Maybe this is why the queen was justified in wanting to kill. Who told him to kill these prophets? Was he right or was he wrong? And that's the question that we must answer. When he was told to go to Zarephath, he went there. When he was told to go into the wilderness, he went there. Who told him to slay these prophets? Was he right or was he wrong? Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 5. You better start at verse 1. And beloved, these verses apply today, where you have all of these men pretending to be doing miracles, special feats. These verses apply. Let's read. Chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God tests you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments, obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave unto him. Verse 5, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord. I ask you, was Elijah right or wrong? What do you say? Sure, he was right. But how did he know? God said go to Zarephath. He said go here. But he didn't say kill those prophets. How did Elijah know that he was to kill the prophets? Very simple. He knew the word of God. And if we are to know the word of God and the will of God, we must know the word of God. Elijah knew to kill those prophets, to slay those prophets, because he knew the word of God. Therefore, when the queen was after him, she wasn't after him for wrongdoing, as we have been reading in 1 Peter. She was after him for right doing, for righteousness. And oftentimes we find ourselves in difficulty, in trouble. Problems arise. Oftentimes God allows those problems in order that he might test us. A verse just occurs to me. Book of Isaiah, please. Maybe you can help me. When thou goest through the water, when thou goest through the fire. It's in Isaiah. That's terrible. That's what advancing age will do for you. 43. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 43. Thanks very much. Oh, yes. Verse 2. I even have it specially marked in my Bible. 43, verse 2, when thou passest into the waters. Is that how your Bible reads? When you pass into the waters. When you pass into, you may not come out. But this verse says when you pass through, that means you're coming through. That means you're not going to stay there. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest into the fire or through the fire. When you walk through the fire, it means you're coming out. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went in, but they walked out. The king called them, come forth, and they came out. And when God tests us, he puts us through the water. It isn't to drown us, it's to cleanse us. And when he puts us through the fire, it isn't to burn us, it's to purify us. So that God has his way of testing us and of proving us so as to better us, so as to improve us. And when he allowed the queen to seek Elijah's life, it wasn't because Elijah had done something wrong, it was because God was proving him. Now let us see how he reacted to the testing. Come back to chapter 19. Verse 1 again. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. How he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And we just saw that he was right when he did that. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. He was really in trouble. In trouble for doing the right thing. That'll often happen. We will find ourselves in difficulty for righteousness' sake, because we do the right thing. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Verse 3. Came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah. He left his servant there. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he started to pray. And when we're in trouble, that's the best thing to do. Get alone with God. Get alone with God. And then he began to pray. Verse 4. He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough, Lord. I can't take any more. Now, O Lord, take away my life. I am not better than my father's. He prayed, yes. But he prayed incorrectly. Take my life. I'm finished. When we pray to the Lord, we are not to tell him what to do. We may tell him what we desire, but we don't tell God what he's supposed to do. I think of a sister. She's now in Florida, but she was in New York when this happened. She had a problem with her hip joint. Very painful. Could hardly walk. And so some of the saints, along with the elders, decided to visit her one night and to pray to the Lord to heal her. And they prayed, Lord, heal her. We want her to walk. free her of pain. They started at about 8:30 that evening and went on till 6 in the morning, demanding that God heal her. Then one brother says, "Sister, you are healed. Stand up and walk." She said, "I can't." They were telling God what he's supposed to do. We don't pray that way. We are not to pray that way. We are not to tell God what he is to do. He requested that he die. Look with me in Luke chapter 22, please. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 22, verse 42. The Lord Jesus Christ, Creator of heaven and earth. Listen to his prayer in 22 and 42. "Father, if you are willing, remove this from me." Not what I want, as we read in the Gospel of Mark. Not my will, not what I want, thy will. That's the way to pray. But let's come back now to 1 Kings. So he prayed incorrectly. Verse 5, "He lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat." He is praying to die and the angel is saying, eat. It wasn't God's intention that he should die then. And I'm anticipating a little, but it's good to anticipate. It wasn't God's intention that he should die at all. And he's praying, take my life. We need to be very careful how we pray and how we speak to God and what we request of God. Don't tell God what to do. God knows what he's doing. God knows his business. I speak reverently. We are to request according to his will. Verse 6, "He looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And this is a man that's praying to die. Isn't that interesting? I find it very interesting. I must be careful what I say to the Lord and what I ask him, according to his will. Verse 8, "He arose," this is the man that wanted to die, "did eat and drink," oh my, listen to this, "and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. Now the sisters in our meeting cooked very nicely. We witnessed that last Monday. But no sister that I know of has ever cooked a meal that could sustain anybody 40 days and 40 nights. This must have been some food. Maybe I shouldn't feel this way, but I surely think at times I would like to have tasted it. What did that meal taste like? Here's a man asking to die, and God is giving him food to last him 40 days. One meal. 40 days and 40 nights. We read on. "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah?" I had occasion only in the last week to speak to a relative who is having great problems. He's very depressed. And I recommended this to her. Get alone with the Lord and listen to him. As we read in the book of James, cast your burden on the Lord. But I like that little addition that the Southerners sing. Cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. Don't pick it up again. That's most of our trouble. Oh, yes, I pray to the Lord, but pray to the Lord and leave the burden there. That's the hard part. Leave the burden there. Let's read on. Verse 9, the last sentence. What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. I'm the only pebble on the beach. I'm the only one that loves the Lord. I'm the only one that honors the Lord. Watch that, beloved. Be very careful what we think of ourselves. This is spiritual pride. I'm the only one. We're going to see further down that the Lord had others. Never feel so sorry for yourself that you're the only one. Story is told of a brother. This was in Jamaica, in the Caribbean. One of the elders, and they had a meeting of the brethren. And he said, he stood up, brethren, there's one thing I want you to get straight and keep straight. I am the humblest man in this meeting. That was Elijah's problem. I'm the only one left. Poor me. We have to be very careful that we are not proud of our humility. That can happen. Let's read on. Verse 10, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only, oh my poor me, I'm the only one left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Isn't that like us? We want something spectacular to prove that the Lord is present. We read on. Verse 12, after the earthquake, a fire. That's spectacular. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. And I like the translation which reads, a gentle, soft whisper. You have to stay pretty still to hear that. A gentle, soft. And that is one of the problems when we have these troubles and these trials and these testings. We tend to move too much, and you can't hear the Lord's voice if you keep moving. I remember when our first two children were small, they were about, 5 and 6. It was the birthday of one of them. And so we decided to have some of their little friends come and celebrate her birthday. All these little children. 5 and 6 years old. After a while, they got restless. And one of the mothers decided, I know how to keep them quiet. And she sat them down in a semicircle. And she wrote something on a piece of paper and showed it to the first girl. What is that? The girl couldn't read it. So the mother read it for the girl. And she said, now you tell the one next to you what you heard. She told. And you tell the next one. So we came around to about the 15th. And she said to the 15th child, now stand up and tell us what you heard. No relation to what the first one heard. They weren't listening. If we're going to hear his voice, we've got to listen. It's a gentle, soft whisper. When he yells in judgment, that's for judgment. Let me ask you young ladies, married and unmarried, on your wedding day, would you like a burst of thunder and lightning? It's spectacular. Or would you like the nice sunshine day, calm breeze, gentle, and we will hear the Lord's voice when we are quiet, because His voice is a gentle, soft whisper. It's after 8 o'clock. Time for me to stop. Let's go along a little faster then. Or shall we stop? Let me know. Verse 13. It was so when Elijah heard the voice that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He said again, "I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, only I, dear me, I'm the only one left." Oh, beloved, you know, we all have a tendency to feel that way. He did so-and-so, but I didn't do it. She did so-and-so, but I wouldn't do that. Let's not be boastful of ourselves. The Lord said unto him, verse 15, "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king. You want to die, I've got work for you to do. God will decide when you're to die. Meanwhile, he would have us to work. Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mithah, anoint to be prophet in thy room." Elijah, you are praying to die. I've got work for you to do. Lifetime is working time. It's no time to be dead. "It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael and shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay." Oh, look at verse 18 now. Remember what Elisha said? "I only am left." What did the Lord say? "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Elijah, you are not the only one. And there's a strong tendency for us to feel that, especially in these days in the States, with all the things happening with this China problem and with all the things that have happened. Oh, Lord, are there any saved people left? God has people in the United States. And I believe that one reason that he is sparing this nation is because of his people in the United States. Praying people. He's got some. But we have to stop. Now turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 2. Now let me advise you, as we turn from 1 Kings 19 to 2 Kings chapter 2, there was a passage of 10 years. This is 10 years after Elijah asked the Lord to take his life. He's still alive. Isn't that amazing? He's praying to die and here he is alive 10 years later. And you know what we're going to read. Let's not start from verse 1. We know that. Verse 6. "Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry, I pray thee here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, that is Elisha, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on." You know, there must have been something about Elisha that Elisha wanted to stay with him. It's the same way with Ruth. There must have been something about Naomi that Ruth wanted to stay with him. Naomi. Question. What is there about me that another would want to be around me? Are we attracting any to ourselves and ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ? He continued. Verse 7. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon thee. Isn't that nice? To so live that the person following with you wants a double portion of your spirit. I know a brother, older man, very kind to me, very helpful and very instrumental. And he would constantly say, I don't want to rust out, I want to burn out. Well, he said that many times. He left New York, went on a missionary trip to Jamaica in the Caribbean. And one night as he was preaching, he dropped dead. Did he burn out or rust out? That's what we want. That's the way we should desire to go. Not rust out, burn out. Burn in the service of the Lord. But let's read on. Verse 10, Thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass as they still went and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and this is the man who requested that he die. He requested to die, but the Lord never intended that he should die. And we, beloved, do wise to be careful in our prayers. The Lord has said men, believers, women, should always pray, but don't tell God what to do. Several years ago in New York City, in the borough of Brooklyn, I was at a Memorial Day conference. And at the end of the conference, a brother called me and said, I want to talk to you. He said, I want to ask you to pray for me. My son has given me no end of trouble. He's a drug addict. I've had to put a lock on every closet and every door in the house. Finally, I had to tell him, leave the house. I want you to pray that God either takes me or take him. That's how distraught he was. Came back a year later, similar conference, saw this brother, he looked rather cheerful. I went over to him, told him I was glad to see him. I said, I've been praying for you. Of course, I didn't quite pray what you asked me to pray. We don't tell God what to do. He said, you know what? I am still here, and he is still here, and he is safe. How about it? Say, I'll be praying. Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for who thou art. How we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank thee for thy holy word, the Bible, and what it contains, the lessons that we should gather therefrom. We thank thee for this coming together this evening. We thank thee again for those who have opened their homes so that we can be here. We ask thy blessing upon thy word, that we may trust thee, that we may live for thee, have total confidence in thee. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.